Hey, good morning. If it's 8 o'clock on Saturday morning, it must be time for This Week in Waukesha. I am your host, Alderman of the Airwaves, Don Paul Brown, coming to you live from the office of former Alderman Don Paul Brown, also known as the Walk Radio Studios here at 217 Wisconsin Avenue in the NAMI building, right around the corner from Theodore Humans Park, honoring our suffragette heritage here in the Suffragette City, also known as Guitar Town USA. And hey, and you just heard my good friends, the Water Boys, playing Fisherman's Blues, and it is for a good reason. We're going to hear a lot of fish songs today because I have some very special guests. They are a husband-wife team that owns a very successful seafood direct-to-consumer business, but they also sell to some chefs. Please join me in saying hello to Euro and Adra Kusnerova of Alaska Fresh Salmon. Hi, guys. Welcome.
Hi.
Good morning.
Thanks for having us.
Thanks so much for being here. Full disclosure, we met through, in my other life, I manage, and one of the online communities I manage is called the Center for Responsible Seafood, and it's a growing community of passionate seafood professionals that are also serious about sustainability and responsible seafood practices, one, for a healthier planet, but two, for healthier humans and addressing food insecurity issues. And there's just so many great opportunities globally and even here in Wisconsin to develop local economies and feed some of our own poor with, you know, the best proteins out there, seafood. So, but more than just a successful business, it's an unlikely love story. These two met in Chicago. Now we'll start with Euro. Was you're from Slovakia?
Yes, that's correct.
Where he was also he's a broadcaster like myself, broadcasting hockey games. Very cool.
Yes, that was my previous life.
So Crudy, if you're listening, if we end up getting any hockey deals, I have a handpicked broadcaster who's got a great radio voice. But tell us how you ended up in Alaska and fishing.
Well, I had a pretty good job lined up in college, already being a journalist, and I was ready to just be a journalist for the rest of my life. And then my best friend went to Alaska just for the summer as a college student through the J-1 visa work and travel program. And he came back and he said, hey, listen, that's the hardest job you've ever had. It's just the most horrible time. It's just, you know, fish, and you work with fish 20 hours a day, then you sleep 3 hours and you go another 20. And I'm thinking, well, that sounds pretty terrible. Can I go with you next year? And he's like, all right, yeah, let's go. So we went. And
the pay is really good, right?
Well, the pay was, I mean, good. It was minimum wage at the time. So I think I was getting paid $7.25 an hour.
Okay.
But there is a lot of overtime when you work, you know, 100 hours a week.
Yeah. Yep.
And a lot of expenses are covered. Mm-hmm. But mostly for me, it was just experience to do something different before I settle into my life of being a journalist.
Sure.
Well, I ended up going to Cordova, and Cordova is right next to the Copper River. So right away from the get-go, I started working with the best salmon in the world, literally, and just kind of fell in love with the whole process and with the idea and with just feeding the world a high quality food. And so I just kept coming back every year. Switched from student visa to temporary work visa, and I was living between Slovakia and Alaska for a few years until I met Adra and switched my schedule a little bit.
And so this is, as I understand the story, you were coming to Chicago for a trade event.
Yes, that's correct. We had a conference because I was recruiting students back in Slovakia and Czech Republic to come work to the fisheries like I did when I started.
Neat.
And Adra was working for a company that was kind of a facilitator for the visa program, for the J-1 visa program.
Okay.
So they invited me to this conference as one of the employers. And yeah, she was the visa sponsor and we kind of hit it off.
Oh, that's terrific. So now, Adra, you grew up here in, is it Brookfield?
Yes.
Okay. Terrific. And you ended up in Chicago, kind of like I did, but I didn't come from Wisconsin. But
yeah.
And then kind of love at first sight. But were you also a seafood fan or aficionado, or I mean, you know, or just you liked it?
Yeah, I always incorporated seafood in my diet when I was debating on what to go into in college. I toyed with nutrition as an option, and I went way the opposite direction into international relations and Spanish linguistics.
That's what I studied, yeah.
But I'm happy to be
back
in the or into the nutrition space. And I was hosting Euro at a conference, and I gave him his gift bag, his welcome bag, and the rest was history.
That's fantastic. So, and now you ended up going back to Alaska with him, right, for a few years? Is that correct?
Yes. Okay. I got to spend 4 summers up there.
Wow.
And that was amazing. And I was super privileged and lucky enough. My parents took me on a cruise that they took in Alaska when I was 13, and I just fell in love. And my dream job, you know, some kids want to be veterinarians or basketball players. I wanted to be a tour guide in Alaska. So I got to live my childhood dream by living there with him. We lived on the coast. We could see sea otters from our living room window.
Oh, cool.
The whole town is just based on generations of fishing traditions.
Okay.
And everyone's livelihood is supported by the health of this fishery and
That's
harvesting
fantastic.
The salmon.
Okay. And this was a natural or a wild catch fishery, or was it aquaculture?
It was a wild fishery.
Okay.
Yes.
Nice. Okay. Interesting. So, but do you do any business with any aquaculture farms currently?
No,
you take that.
We don't. So we only focus on product that's coming out of Cordova.
Okay.
And so both Copper River sockeye and halibut that we sell, or Copper River coho, those are all wild fish.
Okay.
When you say aquaculture, if you mean fish farms, those are per se. Right. Those are not legal in Alaska.
Mm.
So there is no farms. There is a form of aquaculture up there called hatcheries, but that's a whole different story.
Okay.
Sure. Yeah, but our fish are all wild cod from Prince William Sound and the Copper River fishing regions in south central Alaska.
That's neat. And would you live there the whole year or just live there seasonally like you were doing before you and Adrian met?
We were there just seasonally.
Okay.
So,
and then you come back here to the Midwest?
Exactly.
Okay. And then when did you get the idea of like working out of the Milwaukee area and bringing it in?
We were bringing so much fish back at the end of each season for our friends and family. Like we would check our luggage at the Anchorage airport, and then we would check a couple 50-pound boxes of seafood, and we were running out of it so quickly. We decided we were having dinner up north at the Big Easel at our friend's place, and Euro said, I really want to start this business. And it like, you know, we had this like alive feeling about it. And so we put together Alaska Fresh and started with friends and family as our customers.
Yeah.
And it's just been growing over the last 5 years. And especially with the pandemic, with everyone cooking at home more.
Sure.
And then people just trying to get healthier in general. Like I have a lot of customers say, oh, my doctor told me I should eat more fish. The business has been growing, which has been great.
Yeah. You know, I'm glad you mentioned that, 'cause I was at, Target with my wife yesterday doing some last second shopping for our son's birthday. Evan, I hope you're not listening. No, but but there is a seafood section there now at Target. Now, I know Costco's had one, and I've heard good things, and it's some mixed reviews, but mostly good things. But then I mentioned to my wife, like, hey, there's a seafood section, and right away she's just like, that's probably gross, or it's probably like...
Mm.
And I know there's still that impression here in the mainland, or in, as you call the lower 48, where people worry about the food service, you know, the safety of eating fish. And I don't buy into that, just so you know, but I know it's something to talk about.
Right. And the freshness of it. And, you know, when people think of the word fresh, they think of, something, and especially with seafood, they think of something that's thawed and that's in the deli case.
Sure.
But when you are working with, any coastal seafood or any seafood in general, and you're not near the area where it's from,
you may not.
You definitely want to have frozen seafood.
Yeah. And I apologize, my timing's a little messed up. We're actually, no, we do have another minute, so thank you, Connor. Sorry about that.
Oh, okay.
So
no worries.
Yeah, go ahead. Finish your thoughts.
Yeah, so what we sell smoked salmon, and then we also have frozen salmon and halibut, and the The reason that it's frozen is because it maintains its color, the nutrients, yeah, sure, the flavor. And so I always tell my customers, when you're eating seafood from the coast, you want to make sure it's frozen.
Sure.
Unless you're having it flown in.
And now you're making me hungry. Yeah, sure. Okay, well, stick around because we want to hear more about this. And This Week in Waukesha continues with Ural and Idra Kuznarova of Alaska Fresh Salmon. Do not go away.
He's a fisherman, just like his father. Even though his daddy told him, go to college, work in an office, get off the water, be a doctor or a lawyer or a banker. Now he's got a boat and a permit. Saltwater claims the blood in your veins.
Okay, we're back this week in Waukesha with our very special guest, Idra and Ural Kuznarova of Alaska Fresh Salmon. And this was actually, I joke around that all these artists are my friends, although I really do believe Mike Scott and the Water Boys are my friends. But Mike Mickelson here, the artist of The Fisherman, is actually a friend of the Kuznarovas. How did that happen?
Well, what's really cool about living in a small Alaskan fishing community, yeah, is you get to know everybody.
Cool.
After living there for some time. We met our fisherwoman, Kim Menster, who fishes our smoked coho. We met her through Mike Mickelson's mom, her name is Reverend Belle Mickelson, and she runs a bluegrass camp in Cordova. Mm. So while Ural was working his 24-hour shifts around the fish, yeah, I was learning how to play guitar, and then I met Kim, and we had a little concert together, and now we're selling her fish.
I love it. And you're giving me an idea for a festival.
Yeah.
Seafood and bluegrass, right?
Yep. Yeah, you can't go wrong with that.
I love it. Oh, that's fantastic. And you mentioned coho, because I remember I was just reading an article recently that in, I believe it's the Russian River there in like Sonoma, or like there, like by in wine country, that the coho is under a threat because of the, the pines, for one, because that impacts the river.
Mm-hmm. But
there's some erosion, there's some other environment, and that fire like really hurt the coho. And so I didn't know that there were coho species in Alaska, so that's probably that bodes, yeah, well for you, I think, if you, because what's your, I know you sell a lot here in the Milwaukee area, but your base is, I think you mentioned you're another, you ship to other cities to some customers.
Yeah, there, we do pop-ups at farmers markets here in Menominee Falls, Brookfield, and West Bend,
right,
but primarily we ship nationwide. Our goal is to get seafood and this good protein into seafood deserts, as we call them, where people don't have access to high quality fish.
Right.
And I forgot what the original question was that you
asked.
The coho.
Like I said, that's an area that's really been disrupted, but does that create an opportunity for you? You might be able to serve customers that, if that's a favorite, type of salmon.
Yeah, definitely. Some of our customers go for coho only over the sockeye because it's a little bit milder. It's the last salmon that runs. There's five types of salmon that run in the area where we source our fish, and it's the fall varietal. A lot of coho and overall salmon populations in the lower 48 have been affected by damming of the rivers. And actually, Aldo Leopold, who was a conservationist, who I believe he was born in Wisconsin. He has strong ties to Wisconsin.
I believe, yeah.
His grandson and his wife, or maybe granddaughter and her husband, are very involved with salmon conservation in Oregon. So, Wisconsin root legacy continues out west. And
good.
There's a lot to be done with salmon conservation, which is why we're also really excited to be in the space of selling wild Alaskan salmon, because a portion of our customers' purchases goes to the Wild Salmon Center in Cordova and to the Copper River Watershed Project, which helps remove dams and give more pathways to salmon fry to get to their spawning grounds.
Fantastic. I love that. And so, and I, it's funny, I've been reading a lot about seafood, as you know, with my work with TCRS, that I know that there was an effort to bring salmon into the Great Lakes. You're, like, there's this reappearance of alewives.
Mm-hmm.
Like lying dead on the beach. That's actually a good sign because of, I think the salmon was brought in to keep the alewife population down because it was eating up some of the other native, some of those other species were deteriorating. So back in the 50s, they thought it would be a good sustainable practice. But I think they got, after a while, like it worked against the salmon or something like that. But now that there's these alewives showing up, it means that there's more salmon. And would you ever source salmon from the Great Lakes? I know you said it's the best, you know, as Euro mentioned, the best, you have access to the best salmon in the world.
Right.
You're going to have a market for that. But is there any appeal for any, like, the local or regional species?
So local and regional species are one thing. Mm. Salmon from Lake Michigan, in my opinion, is a completely different thing.
Okay.
Salmon, wild salmon, let's say in Alaska, is a species that is born in the river,
right,
swims down the river,
sure,
lives in the ocean, swims thousands of miles,
okay,
in, you know, the salt water of the
sure
ocean,
sure,
and then comes back to the exact same river, dies over there.
Wow.
So that's the life cycle of the top quality salmon.
Okay.
That's how the salmon gets strong. That's how
sure
it gets all the nutrients,
right,
because when it's coming back to the river, it stops eating before it enters the fresh water. So sure it really needs to build up good muscle, good fat content.
Right.
That's where all the omega-3 fatty acids are coming from, from the fat content. Yeah. And it has to be strong to survive this this long journey back up to the creek.
Yep.
The salmon that lives in Lake Michigan, it's, you know, eats whatever is in Lake Michigan. It lives in the water of Lake Michigan.
Yeah.
And it doesn't need to build up strong fat content or good muscles. So the meat quality, the flavor, the nutrients.
It's become one of those lazy mainland Americans, right?
I didn't say that.
No, I did. I know that.
So anyway, so no, I don't think we would go the route of sourcing salmon from Lake Michigan.
Okay. Sure, that's fair. So I want to jump back to the question, the prejudice about fish and seafood as not being like safe handling or say, and I remember I shared a video with you from George Chamberlain, president of TCRS, and it was the video was produced by the Global Seafood Advocate, who, you know, their BAP certification, they make sure that, but George had cited a study that was done by the CDC, and it was a span of like 5 years. It wasn't that long ago, but there were 26,000 foodborne cases in the US, and like, I forget the exact word, but the majority of them were from land-based proteins. And then like a little more than a third of them were from plant-based proteins. And then like 7 to 9%, a very small percentage, were from fish and seafood. And that didn't surprise me, having worked in the restaurant business. But, you know, would you, you know, again, since you're on the sales, the commercial side of this, like, you know, that's news you can use, right, in terms of educating your public, correct? Your target audience?
Well, fish is the fastest spoiling animal protein there is, right? Fish goes bad the quickest.
Sure.
But the upside is fish really lets you know that it's going bad.
Yeah.
Like you can tell from a mile away if you have a bad fish in your fridge, you can really smell it.
Sure.
So you can tell and just kind of keep yourself safe that way. But also because it is a protein that goes bad so quickly, the regulations and the oversight must be much, much stronger and much, much better. And in Alaska, it's surprisingly easy to do that because there is not that many places that do process the seafood. So it's, in short, seafood from Alaska is very safe. And like Adriel was saying before, it's keeping it frozen what's keeping it safe.
Absolutely.
And what's keeping it kind of fresh.
Oh, yeah.
Because all the nutrients and everything stays in as long as you keep it fresh, frozen.
Good. Okay. Hey, we're going to go to another break, but we have much more to talk about with Adra and Euro Kusnerova of Alaska Fresh Salmon out of Menominee Falls, but they wanna tell the Waukesha world why they should be eating more fish and seafood. So stick around. This Week in Waukesha
now he's paying continues. For a boat permit. So salt water claims the blood in your veins. The springtime comes and the ocean calls again. You just can't ignore the call. Fish to catch and gear to haul.
We're back with This Week in Waukesha, and you're listening to Iggy Pop. This is a film, and it's actually about fish, right, Euro? You picked this as your pick.
Yeah, there is a fish mentioned at the end of the song, and it's a, if anybody wants to listen to the whole song, I don't want to ruin the surprise, but when I was going to Alaska my first time, a friend of mine made me a mixtape to listen to, and this was one of the songs, and I didn't get to listen to it the whole summer because I was so busy.
Yeah.
And then after the summer, I was listening to this song after working with fish 20 hours a day for 3 months straight. And I'm obviously exaggerating the 20 hours, but long, long days, long sure. weeks. And when this song came up and the ending came around, I almost died laughing. So great song. Highly recommend.
Yeah, that's good. I like a lot of Iggy Pop, but yeah, you know, it's funny because I just thought of another really bizarre song by Van Morrison. It's from one of his later albums. And, it was called In the Days Before Rock and Roll. And it was like this kind of like lost innocence or childhood. And like it's almost like the chorus line, but he doesn't sing it, but he keeps saying, "They let the goldfish go." And it's just bizarre. It's such a weird, like,
that sounds sad.
It's sad, but it's kind of like the melody is more of a little bit more kind of happier. It's worth a listen. It's a pretty bizarre song, but
I was just picturing a goldfish going down a toilet, but maybe they let it go.
No, I think they meant it like, yeah, because that's what it was. So it was just about like, because these kids were growing up and that's what it was. Yeah, so it's kind of a happy thing. But, but I remember I used to manage this Irish pub in Chicago where you guys met. And closing time was always tough getting people out. We'd have closing songs so people would get the idea. But these two doormen just started going around. And you knew who the doormen were because they wore aprons around their waist. And they just started chanting, "Just let the goldfish go." And I had no idea what they were saying. And I think it kind of creeped people out, so they left. But it was a line from that song. And it was just about, you know, like I said, growing up and moving on. And I think that's kind of their little subtle hint to these guys.
That's a good tactic to get people out.
Very interesting.
Yes. But I digress. Let's talk Alaska fresh salmon and fish and seafood. And so I have to say, and I love our farmer's market, but I know you guys had applied and that you were turned down, correct?
Yes, because we don't have a Wisconsin product. So there's a big push within the Alaskan seafood retailer community and other coastal seafood retailers to really rethink of this idea as local. The FDA defines local as something produced within 400 miles, but all of the fish that comes out of Alaska and other coastal communities, it can't all be consumed by everyone in Alaska. There's such a bigger market out there. So what we're trying to advocate for is, you know, what's healthy protein, what's wild food.
It's produced by local artisans.
Yeah, exactly.
And it doesn't come here, you know, in the can from Chicken of the Sea or like one of the bigger names, one of the bigger like brands like Kraft or Gordon's or ain't nothing against them. Those are good product, but it's not what you guys are bringing to the table.
Yeah, the fish is filleted by hand. It's caught by hand. Each fish is bled by hand. You know, these are fishermen that are going out there, not on big ocean trawlers, which comb the bottom of the ocean floor and take up everything in its path. It's one person on a boat picking each fish out of one net. So also like keeping in mind the artisanal production processes that come along with the food.
Goes through very few hands, I bet, right?
Mm-hmm.
So
and also Alaska is kind of a poster child for sustainable fisheries. The way the fishing is regulated there could really be a great example for other areas where, I mean, you know, everybody has their issues, but Alaska has really been very good and very strict, and regulations are surprisingly followed over there, and it's been working.
Sure.
And you had asked about, you know, if we would consider selling salmon from Lake Michigan, and something that I just thought of is that now, you know, there's only a handful of commercial fisheries left on the Lake Michigan coast.
Really?
Because they've collapsed due to, factories came in and workers went away from those jobs.
St. Lawrence Seaway.
Yeah, the water quality has declined. So, you know, even if people did want to eat local salmon, there's not enough of that to go around. So as our food systems change, we also need to rethink what local really means.
In your professional opinion, is there hope for the Great Lakes that we may, not just salmon, but maybe other quality species that we may be able to, there may be an abundance of those again?
I certainly think so, as long as the EPA still gets robust funding and we still, you know, Milwaukee has a great infrastructure with programs to improve water quality.
Sure.
And we do have some Superfund sites around the Great Lakes, meaning that there's cleanup that is needed, and so there is government funding coming in. I think as long as that infrastructure is built up and as people continue to become more educated about it and as the awareness grows, I think there's definitely hope.
Great. Yeah, because, you know, the other thing too is, you know, fun little fact is that our inland bodies of water represent less than 2% of the Earth's surface, yet 51% of the world's species come from these inland bodies of water. Is there opportunity for economic development for, you know, some of these local economies here, especially when you get maybe in some of the more impoverished areas or maybe in our First Nations, as well as, you know, career opportunities to go along with them?
I think so. Yeah, I think it's a matter of young people being exposed to the practices and people just taking back the land and taking back the practices from big agriculture or big aquaculture and learning the trade and learning how to do that.
Sure. And that might be a challenge a little bit because commercial fishing, that's not a glamorous job.
Mm-hmm. Right.
It's not like you're sitting in the office and you're getting paid a lot of money. You can still be very successful. You can still be very successful when you're a commercial fisherman, but you work very hard to make that happen. It's an actual, you really have to apply yourself. And a lot of the fishermen up there, by up there, I mean in Alaska, it's a second, third generation.
Right.
They learned the trade from their ancestors, from their fathers. People still do come from the lower 48 to do it, but it's kind of something that's inherited up
there. And that includes fisherwomen too, correct?
Fisherwomen as well. Yes.
So that's a great
big debate on this naming convention.
Yeah.
Fisher folk, fisher people.
Sure, yeah.
Fishermen, fisherwomen.
But I do know some women that they're fine with being called fishermen. But the idea that there's more, it seems there's more opportunities. I know of some women professionals I know on the aquaculture side as well as on the wild catch side that want to promote more opportunities for women and for diverse groups and so on. And I think there's a real opportunity when you consider, especially with you guys in Alaska and you know with the oceans, that there's just so many opportunities to address food insecurity around the world as well as some more sustainable solutions. And so again, that's why we're glad to have a Milwaukee-based company, an entrepreneurial venture, a mom-and-pop shop that's bringing in, again, the best salmon in the world, you know, right here in Cream City. So I take my hat off to you. So
I'm, absolutely.
What are some of the kind of the things you want to leave with our audience here, especially in Waukesha, about your company and about you know, having more of a blue diet, if you will?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, the ideal amount of fish I just spoke with Dr. Whitcomb out of Brookfield, who's a longevity expert, and he said that we're experiencing, as humans, salmon deficit disorder, and I will widen that to seafood deficit disorder. We're not getting enough omega-3 fatty acids, and so as much as people can incorporate fish into their diet, it's super important. You can find us at AlaskaFreshSalmon.com, and you can also find us on social media at Alaska Fresh Salmon. And I think one of the most important things I would like to leave off with is just know your source. Like, don't be afraid to ask your server or your butcher or wherever you're getting your fish. You know your source.
Sure. Hey, we do have more time with my friends, the Kusnerovas. And be happy to take a drug test, too. I'm clean. I'm sober as a judge. But, hey, lots more to talk about in our final segment. This Week in Waukesha continues in All Laughs, directed at me, your host, Don Brown. Stick around. We're back this week in Waukesha. You're listening to one of my favorite bands from the early 80s, Split Ends, with 6 months and a leaky boat. The fun part's coming up, and you have a lot of maritime songs in honor of our special guest, who, so, Adra and Euro, and I guess I've been saying the surname somewhat incorrectly. I have it half right, but I don't. So, Euro, you want to give tell us the semantics here? This is important.
Yes, so my name is Euro Kushnir, and my wife Adra, she's Adra Kushnirova, and the ova is added in Slavic languages to differentiate female and male names. And when we got married, we didn't have the option to both have the name Kushnir, but she decided to keep or to make it Kushnirova. So it's A, cool, it looks like a secret agent, and B, you know, we were living in Cordova, Alaska at the time, so it was like Kushnirova from Cordova. It was fun.
I love it.
It was. Someone asked me, oh, it's ova because you have ovaries, and I was like, all right, that's a good way to think about it.
Okay. Connor's covering it.
Yeah, I was going to max out the mic right there if I tried.
So we'll pause for a moment so we can hear the best part of the song here again. Split Ends. My friends from New Zealand, the Finn Brothers. You digging it, Connor? You like this?
Yeah.
Just spent 6 months in a leaky boat.
I'm totally gonna make a fish playlist now and put this on there.
All right, you can turn it off now. Thanks, Connor. So, but you haven't had too many problems with leaky boats, right? With your wife or when you worked in any accidents like that in Alaska?
Oh, constantly. Yes, it's when I was saying it's a hard job, I really meant it. While I was working there, I'm going to say on average, probably one person died every year or every couple of years out of this maybe 500 boat fleet for a plethora of reasons.
Sure.
Sometimes it is a leaky boat that just sinks.
Yeah.
Sometimes, and this is probably the most heartbreaking story, a guy just lost a small part of his boat and it was, you know, floating away. So he took his kayak to go and get it. And the current was just too strong and he couldn't make it back to his boat. And there were boats inside. He couldn't, he could see all the boats around, but nobody could hear him. It's the ocean. Nobody could see him because he's too small. And it got dark and he got flipped on the kayak and that was it for him.
Yeah, our customers always ask at the farmers markets, are you catching the fish? And my answer is I'm not brave enough. I'm not that brave. And you really have to just be fearless to be out there. Dealing with 10, 15-foot swells, the currents. A lot of times people miss out on fishing because they get stuck on a sandbar because they're new and they're still, like, figuring out how to read the tide charts. And, it's a dangerous job. You have to be your own mechanic. You have to... just Mother Nature's in charge when you're out there.
Sure, for sure. Wow, that's something. But the yield seems to be really high, though, huh? Especially based on what you get your business. I understand you have a big order coming in tomorrow, right?
Well, we do have our Copper River Sockeye supply come in. Well, tomorrow. We're recording now, so this is it's not tomorrow anymore.
Yeah.
We already have it, right?
That's right.
When this is aired.
Yeah.
So that's great. But a lot of people fall in love with the fishing up there, but you can hit some really skinny years. And people look at the price tag of wild Alaskan fish and think like, oh my God, it's so much money. But everybody who has ever seen any part of this can realize like, okay, you pay for all this. You pay for the sustainability. There is only so much that goes to the market.
Yeah.
You pay for the quality of people really picking it out hand by,
So there's an abundance.
One by one.
There's no, like, they don't allow any of the, because of the Alaskan regulations, like, we don't have to worry about that body of water just getting tapped out like other bodies of water, like, around the world. Or, like, in the case of the Great Lakes, you don't have to worry about zebra mussels or ocean-going vessels that are coming into that.
Correct.
Yeah.
I'm going to give you an example. This was about 5 years ago, 2018, I think, 4 years ago.
Sure.
The season was absolutely terrible. There is almost no fish. So what happens at that time, the regulating body, Alaskan Department of Fish and Games, shuts down the fishing. So for the people up there, that's their livelihood. That's all they do.
Right.
But the sustainability, the survival of the river comes first. So when there is not enough fish, there is just no fishing.
Yeah.
And that year, there was no fishing for weeks, maybe even a couple months in the area, which is devastating for the fishermen who have loans, and it's a very expensive business to get into.
It's like being a farmer.
But hey, you know, too bad, so sad. The fish come first. The sustainability and the survival comes first. And sure enough, you know, now we have a good season again, you know, four years later. And it's going up and down like everything in nature.
In situations like that, are like local, are they allowed to at least maybe fish for themselves, like that, just for to sustain themselves? Or, I mean, is there kind of checks and balances on that?
Yes, there is. So there is commercial fishing, and then there is, oh my God, now I'm blanking on the name.
Subsistence
fishing. Yeah, yes, absolutely. So the locals do get, they get their own hours when they go to the fishing grounds and catch limited amount of fish.
Right.
I think it's 10 fish a day.
Sure.
They can get.
Okay.
And also the local native community can go out fishing before everybody else.
Okay.
Whether it's subsistence or commercial.
That's great. So, hey, Nick, jumping back here to the market, in your market, it sounds like because you're doing online business that you do have a discriminating and educated customer base that knows what they're looking for, and they may have found you from Google or wherever, but you know, would you say that's a fair amount of your base, like of your, you know, your regular customer base?
Yeah, it's people who have heard of Copper River either from living on the West Coast or having ties to Alaska or, you know, seeing it on restaurant menus, and they're specifically seeking it out.
Nice.
Or they've chatted with us and learned about it, or they've tasted it and realized.
So they're out there and they're growing, right? I mean, we do get some converts that come in.
Absolutely.
So, terrific. Well, I love to hear that. And so, hey, and as I said in my last segment, I know I jumped the gun, but I definitely want to have you guys on the show again because we have so much more to talk about.
Yeah.
And kind of how much time we have right now?
We got about a minute.
Mm-hmm. So, any other last kind of bits of advice for people out there on why they should try Alaskan salmon and why they should give up AlaskaFreshSalmon.com, by the way, right? I got that right. AlaskaFreshSalmon.com.
Yes.
That's correct. I would say, don't be scared of the fish just because it's a little bit more expensive and it's like a top level best fish in the world. Don't be scared of it. It doesn't require really any skills in the kitchen. It can be done in any way. It's super simple. All you need is salt and some heat, whether it's fire or your oven, and you're going to have a fantastic meal that's good and good for you.
That sounds great.
As easy as a frozen pizza.
All right. So let me get this. So, Adra Kushnerova, Euro Kushner. Did I do that right? Kushner. So, no relation
Perfect.
To Jared Kushner.
Not that I know of.
Adra and Euro from Alaska Fresh Salmon, thanks so much for being my guest today. I look forward to seeing you again very soon. And to learn more, also, yeah, go to AlaskaFreshSalmon.com, but also go to ResponsibleSeafood.org to learn more about sustainable fish and some great vendors like Alaska Fresh Salmon to get your fish and seafood from. And go blue. Thanks again for joining us this week in Waukesha Special Edition. And remember, safety is everyone's responsibility, and I look forward to seeing you next week at 8. Until then, see ya!